There's been a lot of talk about Obamacare. Still, many people don't know what they have to do to comply with the law's requirement that almost everyone have insurance beginning in 2014. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We find out the attitudes and knowledge that Iowans have about the Affordable Care Act this hour. We'll also answer common questions about the ACA online health exchange marketplaces that open today, what they mean for you, how to access them. And we'll hear from an uninsured Iowan who will be shopping for a policy at one of the new online marketplaces. What are your questions about the new marketplaces? Join our conversation after this news. River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. The new health insurance websites are up and running this morning. Perhaps you've visited one of them. Well, of course, some expected glitches have already popped up across the country. This hour, we want to put the politics of the Affordable Care Act aside and what has come to be known as Obamacare. We want to put that aside, the political side of this. We'll discuss that tomorrow on our regular politics day, along with the government shutdown. But today's hour is all about wrapping our heads around this new online health exchange, the marketplaces that have opened up today, what they mean for you, how to access them. Later, in just a few moments, we'll hear from an uninsured Iowan who will be shopping for a policy at one of the new online marketplaces. We want to reach out to you today. Are you uninsured? Are you self-insured? Are you looking for a way to get health insurance under this new system? What are your questions about the affordable health care? Affordable Care Act. We want to have your comments, your concerns. We'll try to answer as many as possible this hour. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Joining us, first of all, Pete Damiano is director of the Public Policy Center at the University of Iowa, also professor in the Department of Preventive and Community Dentistry. Pete Damiano, welcome back to our program.
Good afternoon, Ben.
Good afternoon to you. Set the scene for us by explaining what today means for us in the context of implementing the Affordable Care Act.
This is sort of the day that many have been waiting for, thinking that Obamacare is actually starting. Up to this point, we've actually had over 50 components of the law that have gone into place. But today is when the first ability to enroll in either expanded public insurance options or private options that are going to be subsidized by the government. So this is really aimed at people who have been in the individual insurance market, don't get it through their employer, have to go down to the Farm Bureau agent and, you know, purchase a policy. Or they are people that have not been allowed into Medicaid because they – for to be in Medicaid in the past, you had to be both poor and categorically eligible, like being a pregnant mom or a single mom or a young mom, something like that, at a certain poverty level. Now they're getting rid of all of those different categories in states that have the Medicaid expansion, and Iowa is one of those. And so those people will now have an opportunity to get insurance as well.
Mm. One of the misperceptions I've been reading about online is that you have to do it today. This is the opening day.
Correct.
And there are how many months until people have to have health insurance policy?
Right. There's a six-month open enrollment period that begins today and through the end of March. And then beginning technically January 1 is when that individual mandate comes in, when everyone is supposed to have health insurance coverage that will be documented on their taxes when they file those in April. But this is really, again, that chance to enroll in either one of the new public insurance options or into a subsidized private policy through these online marketplaces or exchanges.
Okay. Tell us more about that, because you can go online. The website is www.healthcare.gov.
Correct.
I believe you put in your zip code and then your state.
You put in your state to start.
You put
and
in your
then,
state.
Right. And then you start the enrollment process. You could either look at it that because the demand is so high and this is popular, or because the system hasn't been working, it's been challenging to get logged on today and actually get into the system. So okay. I'm assuming there's some contractor somewhere that's in trouble. But for those people who are in states, and Iowa's one of those, where the government, the federal government is operating the online exchange for them, you would log into that system. You'd put in your information. It's going to connect a whole series of computer systems. It's very complicated between the IRS and the INS and the state and all of this, and it would come up and tell you what level of subsidy you may or may not be eligible, what programs and types of policies that you can be eligible for, and then based on what that subsidy is and how much you want to pay out of pocket for different plans, and you would select a plan.
Mm-hmm. Even without any glitches, and I guess these were to some degree expected. We don't know the extent of it. We'll hear it surely later today in our news how the rollout happened online. But even without any glitches, the process is not something you undertake in a coffee break at work, is it? It's fairly involved.
Well, again, it's not entirely clear. Originally, it was going to be very, very complex, and it was something like 13 pages, and it was going to be a very complicated process. They have supposedly narrowed that down and made it simpler. But again, I tried this morning on numerous occasions to try to log in to have some sense of how complex it was going to be, and the system was not working yet. So it's hard to say.
We want to talk to an uninsured Iowan in just a moment. But before that, Pete, your Public Policy Center recently conducted a survey on this topic, not yet published, but I understand you can share some of the results. What did you want to find out, and what did you find out?
And this was a study we conducted for the Iowa Department of Public Health in collaboration with the Interagency Work Group on Healthcare Reform at the State Insurance Commissioner and Public Health and the Medicaid program to look at what were the consumer attitudes, knowledge, interests, abilities to be able to log into a system like this. And so we surveyed 500 Iowans, a combination of people with employer-sponsored insurance as well as people who were uninsured or had public insurance, and then we did a comparison of those with employer insurance versus the others, that group being the ones that would be most likely to go into the marketplace. And what we found is that the people who were more likely to be purchasing insurance online were much less knowledgeable. Their current insurance, if they had it, was less. They were much less knowledgeable about all the different components of the Affordable Care Act. Their major concern was going to be the price of the plan, and that's what they would be basing their decision on. They were much less comfortable using an online system. They wanted one-on-one assistance if that was available, which is not going to be available many places. So the bottom line is the folks that are really going to need this system are the ones that are really going to need help, and it's going to be a challenge to get a number of those people through. Now, there are navigators that have been contracted to the federal government in Iowa as what we call a partnership model, marketplace or exchange state. The federal government has contracted with three different groups in the state to help people online. There will also be a kind of private volunteer people, probably at hospitals and physicians' offices, and also some insurance agents that can help people enroll. But it's going to be a challenge just because of the complexity.
Pete Damiano is with us, director of the Public Policy Center at the University of Iowa, here with others to help answer any questions you might have about the Affordable Care Act, the rollout now of the health exchange marketplaces online. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. Share your questions, your concerns on this milestone day in what has come to be known as Obamacare. River-to-river at iowapublicradio.org, our email. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Deb Steer is joining us by phone. Deb Steer, I understand you're calling from Northwest Iowa. Whereabouts?
I'm in Lakeview, Iowa. It's in Sac County.
Okay, in Northwest Iowa. And you are uninsured, I understand. In fact, you've never had health insurance, is that right?
Yeah, I've never had health insurance because we couldn't afford it. And now I'm self-employed. I've pretty well been self-employed.
May I ask your age?
53.
Okay. Tell us, to the extent that you feel it's relevant, the background relevant to health care, about what you're interested in as this day arrives.
I have, I guess, mixed feelings on it. As in my past job, I did some healthcare advocacy. So I put at least 10 years into working on healthcare advocacy. I haven't for the past seven. But it's exciting to finally see the, you know, things being accomplished, that we are actually going to have people covered that were uninsured in the past. So that's exciting. Yes, I'm thrilled. I'm finally going to get covered.
Yeah, for your specific situation, explain what you're most excited about. You'll have coverage, right?
I'll have coverage, and it's not, from what I've seen, it's not going to be as expensive. I did go on the website today. I didn't go through the whole application process because it would have been, kind of long.
What did you experience? What did you find out?
I just did the estimator, and as far as I can tell, I'm only going to have to pay about $100 a month for the silver plan. So, you know, it'll have the higher deductible and all that, but to me it's actually going to be affordable because of the subsidies.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. Here to help us talk, stay on the line, please, Deb Steer with us. We'll have you on the line here in a moment. Dr. Jean Robillard is with us, Vice President for Medical Affairs at the University of Iowa, formerly Dean of the Carver College of Medicine. Dr. Robillard, welcome.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
And you've just been listening to Deb Steer here. I saw you nodding your head when she said she was going to have the silver plan. So tell us a little bit, can you tell us, along with Pete, about how these exchanges arrive at a payment per month? Deb says $100 a month.
First of all, I think this today is probably as big of a day as it was in 1965 when we started Medicare and Medicaid. In terms of change of healthcare, there's no question about that. And regarding what will happen for a patient, it will increase access, clearly, like the person here who didn't have any healthcare. It will improve the health of the population, no question about that, because they will have preventive health, which they cannot afford at this point. And finally, people who have pre-existing condition will be able to be insured. Now, in regard to the exchange, they are different exchange in the state, but two exchange that will offer products to individuals across the whole state. And people will have the choice, and if they decide which company to take, of taking different plan. And either a bronze, a silver, a gold, a platinum plan. And in these plan, they are different. They will be different premium. But the silver plan, as the person was just telling us and she's decided to take, this silver plan is very similar to what is offered to the state employee in Iowa. Then this is a plan that cover dental, that cover mental health, and cover the usual care to that state employees are receiving. Then I think it's a good plan.
Mm-hmm. Pete Damiano, tell us a little bit more about what the software was doing to figure out where Deb landed and the choices it was giving her.
Right. So in the new system, for children, things aren't going to change too much. If you're a child up to 133% of poverty will be eligible for Medicaid as previously. Up from about 133% to 300% of poverty, they'll be eligible for the state children's health insurance program, sometimes called Hawkeye. And what's new is from 300 to 400% of poverty, they'll be eligible to purchase subsidized private insurance through the exchanges. And that's what Dr. Robillard was talking about. There's two options that are going to be statewide for two different kinds of plans and then two regional plans. The big change is for adults. As I mentioned earlier, the adults previously, if you were a single adult, low income or not, you're not disabled, it was very difficult to be eligible for Medicaid. Now all adults up to 100% of poverty will be in, it's really a basically a Medicaid expansion plan, but it's called the Iowa Wellness Plan. That combined with adults from 100 to 138% of poverty, which are going to be in the Iowa Choice Plan, those together are kind of called the Iowa Health and Wellness Plan, and which is basically, again, the Medicaid expansion.
Well, maybe one of you can tell me a little bit of the big picture of how we can get health care for Deb Steer. I have to imagine you have to be delighted, Deb, there. $100 a month when previously, what were you looking at? You said you've never been insured before. I imagine you've looked into the price of insurance in prior times. What sort of premiums were you looking at?
Oh, boy, I haven't looked at them in probably 10 years. It was just something I couldn't afford it. I mean, just I was thinking there were at least $200, $300 a month.
And upwards, I've seen other ones. It wouldn't be unusual to go up close to $1,000 a month, wouldn't it be, Dr. Robillard?
Absolutely. I think the people, when they look at this and they put their income, depending on their income, depending on the number of children, they will get also tax credit, which will decrease really the premium they have to pay and make it really affordable, depending on your income. And that's probably the situation we have here.
Where does all this money come from to pay for the people? You talked about the expansion here, but perhaps people don't really understand that because you've got someone like Deb who's never been insured, never paid for health insurance. all of a sudden getting what seems like very reasonable health insurance coverage. Who's picking up the tab, Pete Damiano?
Well, this is obviously a federally program and federally subsidized. And there's a series of different components on how they pay for it, everything from a 10% tax on tanning booths, which is almost humorous, to things about an excise tax on higher-income people for their Medicare. There's going to be some cost shifting is a lot of what's going on. It isn't going to, like, all of a sudden balloon the deficit. In fact, most of the estimates have said that it will actually decrease the deficit because health care costs are such a large component. Another piece of it that we don't know if it's going to keep up is that overall health care costs have increased at the lowest rate in the last 50 years. Some are crediting the implementation and people getting ready. Others would say it was the decline in the economy. It's probably a combination of those things. But there are a number of pieces of this that people aren't even that familiar with that are designed to improve the efficiency and quality of care and reduce costs. And we'll see how well those play out.
Okay. Deb Steer, thank you for sharing your point of view. Before we go, what are the unanswered questions you're looking to have answered as you sort of pursue perhaps this silver plan or look for health coverage?
I guess I really don't have a lot of questions at this time. I figure I can navigate the website. I'm hoping other people that can't do it will get assistance. So.
Okay. Deb,
it's a good thing, and I just hope people get enrolled.
Okay. Deb Steer, best of luck steering your way through that website from Lakeview, Iowa in Sac County. 1-866-780-9100, our number if you have questions, concerns about how this latest stage of the Affordable Care Act implementation works. Let's look at a tweet from WI, from Y Iowa, I guess. I created an account before work this morning and will wait to explore more. I'm curious to see if HSAs will be available. HSAs?
Healthcare savings accounts.
Okay. That would be something that that tweeter is looking forward to. Craig is joining us from Cedar Rapids. Hi, Craig.
Very good program. I have a question. If you opt out of Obamacare and then you went back in, whether you're just eligible for Obamacare or Medicare, will you be penalized the rest of your life?
Okay. Who wants to tackle that?
Well, first of all, I think you have to understand the plan. It goes from 19 to 65. Then the people who are in Medicare remain in Medicare. Okay. That's for the people who are not in Medicare. Then if you are past the Medicare age, if you are in Medicare, then you don't have to enroll in this because you already enrolled in Medicare. This is important to know. Now, if you are less than 65, between 19 and 65, and you're not enrolled, the law is that you will have to pay a penalty. And the penalty depends on will increase with time and depend on your income and so on and so forth. Now, this is important because this will not work unless everybody enroll. You cannot. Insurance company that are in the exchange cannot take just the risk of those who are sick. They have to spread the risk all around. And by that, they will be able to maintain low costs. And this is what is very important.
And right. thus we have the penalty here. So what if you don't opt in, if you're uninsured and you say, no, I don't want it, what happens?
Well, you will pay the penalty the first year, but can you jump in next year during the open enrollment period? Absolutely. It will be a smaller open enrollment period next year. It'll only be in the fall, I believe, mid-October to mid-December. And so it will be a narrower time period, but you can still re-enroll next year if you decide that you want to wait and see how it goes. But as Dr. Robillard mentioned, it really is critical to have people join in. And the individual mandate, when we talk about misperceptions about the whole thing, that wasn't done as this government takeover and trying to, you know, socialize healthcare. It was the insurance companies, as Dr. Robillard said, that said, well, if you want us to get rid of having pre-existing conditions and annual maximums and other things with people that buy individual insurance, you have to have everybody in it together.
Also the healthy 23-year-olds who can't imagine needing a lot of health care.
Right, absolutely. And if you look at the rates for those healthy 23-year-olds in the exchanges, in the marketplaces now, they're very, very reasonable. And that was a concern because they're community rating people together, and there was a concern that the cost for those people were going to be too high and they wouldn't join. But they're actually very reasonable.
Craig, a long answer. I hope we got to the root of your question.
Well, you did, except I heard that you'll have to, if you go from opting out of Obamacare and then you're eligible for Medicare, then you have to pay a penalty the rest of your life.
Is that true?
No. There's no penalty. Just the one-time fee or tax, whatever you want to call it, for the penalty.
For the length of time that you opt out.
For just this year. It's an annual thing. It's not the rest of your life. Medicare is entirely separate. The only thing that the Obamacare relates to Medicare is you got more preventive coverage. If you're in Medicare, you're fine. Okay.
We have lots of other people with questions. Craig, thank you for bringing that up. Dr. Robillard, did you want to jump in there before we go on?
Well, I just want to make sure that people understand that if they want to be insured by January 1st, they have to enroll now, and they have between now and December 15 to be able to see their physician this January 1st and be in this program.
Okay.
They can still enroll until March, but if they want to start January 1st, they have to be enrolled by December 15th.
Let's go to Anthony. Anthony calling from somewhere in northeast Iowa. Where are you, Anthony?
I'm near Waterloo.
Okay. What's your question? We've got just a few minutes before the break. Please make it brief.
My question is that are all these programs going to be a for-profit insurance company, or are there some non-profit insurance companies so that what I'm paying in is going to go to help other people as opposed to helping a CEO's bonus?
Pete Damiano.
Yeah, that's a good question. And the largest insurer in the state, Wellmark, decided to take a pass on the first year, and they're the ones that now cover 70-80% of the people in the individual and small business market who would be purchasing insurance through the marketplace. And so, but you do have, Iowa is one of the handful of states that has a co-op. It's called Co-Opportunity Health, and they are a nonprofit organization that are working with a group out of Minneapolis called Health Partners, which is a longstanding co-op there, and they're one of the two plans that offer statewide coverage.
Okay, Dr. Robillard.
By the way, Co-Opportunity is linked to the University of Iowa Health Alliance. That means all the physicians in the University of Iowa and that are also part of the University of Iowa Health Alliance are part of Co-Opportunity.
Okay, Anthony, thank you for your call.
Excellent. Thank you.
And we want to take a break here in just a minute. We've got less than a minute. Dr. Robillard, perhaps as the Vice President for Medical Affairs at the University of Iowa, you can tell us what this means for medical facilities, hospitals that provide health care. What changes are you expecting as people enroll and, more importantly, I suppose, in January 1st?
Well, I hope this thing make us out of business in one respect.
How so?
In one respect, it will increase access, but it will also increase health of the population. And I think this is the most important thing because people will be able to go to see their physician, to have preventive care, and not use the emergency room the way they are using at this point. And using the emergency room is not the way to get your care. It's done for when you have a fracture, when you have urgent care, not when you have just normal care. And I think on that basis, I think it will improve really the job that we are doing, and it will improve also the health of the population.
Dr. Jean Robillard, Vice President for Medical Affairs at the University of Iowa, along with Pete Damiano, with us, Director of the Public Policy Center at the University of Iowa, talking about the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. We want you to join in our conversation as these new health exchange marketplaces open today. What is your experience? What are you looking forward to? What are your concerns? What are your worries, perhaps? 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. Back in just a few more minutes. I'm Ben Kiefer. Our new health insurance website's up and running, these online health exchange marketplaces. Perhaps you visited one today. Some glitches, problems across the country. We're receiving reports about that. But all things that I think to some degree were expected and will be ironed out as people have the next several months to enroll if they're interested in health care insurance this way through one of these exchanges. January 1st, 2014, the due date when people need to be insured under the new plan. Pete Damiano is with us, Director of the Public Policy Center at the University of Iowa. Also, Dr. Jean Robillard, Vice President for Medical Affairs at the University of Iowa. This happens to coincide with the day that we have a partial government shutdown, the first one in 17 years. Pete Damiano, and I know a lot of people are wondering, isn't the shutdown shutting down the Affordable Care Act, too, or influencing it somehow?
Right. No, the government shutdown is unrelated to the enrollment period starting. The problems with the website appear to be more just over anxious, too many people that are trying to log on all at once and overloading the system and crashing it.
Okay. Also with us, Dan Shane in our Iowa City studio, assistant professor in the Department of Health Management and Policy at the University of Iowa. Dan Shane, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
Let's have you address something that we've touched on in this first half hour, the costs, because we two things here, the accessibility, expanding, obviously, accessibility of health care insurance to, 30% of the population that was not insured prior. But a lot of worries about the costs that this system will bring about. What can you say about what we have to expect in the future with this new system?
Well, we might say that we're going to make it worse in hopes that we can make it better. And what I mean by that is certainly all of these individuals that are gaining health insurance, the primary means, it means access to more affordable care. It's going to lower their out-of-pocket costs. It's going to allow them to visit their family doctor for no out-of-pocket costs. And health economists are fairly convinced that if you lower the price of something, people are going to consume more of it. But all of these consumption activities are we're hoping will actually be positive, because if people are seeing their family physician on a regular basis, if they're no longer foregoing prescription drugs that they need for chronic conditions, then that in the long run will reduce their need to go to the emergency room for something that isn't truly an emergency.
Dr. Jean Robillard, I know you have to leave. I want to thank you for being with us today. You have to leave in a matter of a few minutes. Please talk to this, address this point of cost as the medical vice president of medical affairs at the University
of
Iowa.
For hospital, many hospitals in Iowa, this will help them because they pay themselves a lot for the uncompensated care, the care that people go to the emergency room and are not paid for. For example,
Is this indigent pay?
This is indigent pay. And these people now will be able to get their care and the hospital to be reimbursed. And a small hospital in community in Iowa presently, when they were seeing these patients, were really not reimbursed, especially when the patient had to be hospitalized and be as an inpatient. That will help that, and that will help this community in the same time.
Mm-hmm. Before you have to leave our studio, any other response, or what are you looking forward to in the coming days?
Well,
or concerned
I think the people who don't have insurance should enroll. I think this is a good thing for them. This is will increase access, will continue to improve their health, and this is what it's all about.
Okay, Dr. Jean Robillard, Vice President for Medical Affairs at the University of Iowa. Thank you. Formerly Dean of the Carver College of Medicine at the University of Iowa. We want to spend the rest of the hour getting to your questions, your comments. We've been asking for your comments, your concerns, your questions as this milestone in the rollout of the Affordable Care Act is reached today, October 1st, 2013. Let's go to Sarah in Ames. Sarah dialed 1-866-780-9100. Hi, Sarah. We're going to get through a lot of calls, hopefully, emails in the coming few minutes before our hour ends. What's your question?
Yeah, I don't have a question. I wanted to express I'm very curious to know what options are going to be available. I'm 28 years old. I'm self-employed here in Ames, and I haven't been able to purchase affordable health insurance since I graduated college. The way that I'm doing it now is I'm taking one credit at Iowa State each semester to qualify for Iowa State student insurance, and it is not cheap. I'm just really looking forward to, I'm not sure what I'm going to find, but I'm hoping it's better.
Okay. Sarah, thank you for doing that. It's interesting. People are finding workarounds, visiting the emergency center, one of them. The other one, taking one credit hour at ISU, Pete Damiano.
Well, we know having health insurance is very important to most people. Again, in a number of studies that we've done, that it's just key. It's even more key that they have it for their families. And so the people who can benefit from this significantly are people that either don't get it through their employer, and we know that 80% of the uninsured are working people in their families. These aren't people that aren't trying. They're just working at the wrong job, as I call it. And so if you don't get it for yourself or you don't get it for a spouse or child, then this is an opportunity to enroll and be able to get that dependent coverage in a way that was unaffordable, or if you had someone that had pre-existing condition or you got sick during your policy and you could be dropped, all those things are eliminated with the new plan.
Dan Shane of the University of Iowa, what can you tell us about the example that well, what has become known as Obamacare is based on something that was at one time and perhaps still referred to by the people, some people in Massachusetts, as Romney Care, the implementation of a mandated system there. This is the model for what we're getting countrywide, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think what we've already heard is exactly like we saw with the rollout in Massachusetts. The early stages, there were lots of glitches. There were problems with individuals getting into the system, understanding what they needed to do to get enrolled. But at least from the Massachusetts experience, the results, even in the first year, were quite positive. I think they enrolled over 300,000 individuals in Massachusetts into the system within the first year.
And speaking of bumpy rollouts, can we also turn to Medicare Part D? This was part of the Medicare prescription drug benefit, a federal program to subsidize the cost of prescription drugs for Medicare beneficiaries, enacted under the Bush presidency, George W. Bush, wasn't it? So that was an easy or a hard rollout, too?
That was another hard rollout. A lot of the lessons learned from Medicare Part D hopefully will be integrated into what's going to happen in the next days and weeks for the Obamacare rollout. And another piece that a lot of health economists have looked at is individuals and the decisions they made in the earliest years of the Massachusetts and the Part D. Price is always going to be the first decision point for most individuals in terms of the health plans they're looking for. But what's come out of this is a lot of those decisions, when you look at the total cost of their health care over a year and subsequent years, it becomes much more important to think about co-payments, co-insurance, and how your specific needs relate to those type of those type of plan characteristics.
When we look at Massachusetts and we look at the polls, a little bit majority of people are not in favor of Obamacare, don't have the greatest view of it. Do we know what the people of Massachusetts think about their own health care insurance system now that it's been in place for how many years?
I believe they went live in 2006. And so they're very, very positive about the experience. And again, different political circumstances, and perhaps it was because the Boston Red Sox were such an important part of the rollout, but very favorable towards what we call Romney Care in Massachusetts.
Okay, let's go back to our phones, as many as possible. So we're asking you for a brief comment or question so that we can move through these and get to as many as possible. Rodney is with us from Cedar Rapids. Hi, Rodney. Thank you for joining us this hour.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Rodney. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a question. I have health insurance through Wellmark. I pay for it myself, and I'm happy with it. Do I have to register at all with the government, or am I just cool to just carry on? Or
yeah, if your policy, and you'll be told by Wellmark if for some reason there needs to be some changes in the to meet the essential health benefits in the package. But if it does, then you will just use that. You'll get proof that you will just, when you file your tax return, and you have to demonstrate you have insurance coverage, but you wouldn't have to change.
Can he benefit going online at all, perhaps getting a better price for the same coverage? Is that what we're talking about here, competition,
sure,
shopping around?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it is, going online, seeing where you would fall in terms of whether you're eligible for a subsidy or not, looking at the plans that are on there. And Professor Shane was talking about that, you know, out-of-pocket cost. Well, that's what they call the metal levels, where you go in and you're going to see a bronze level, silver level, gold level, and platinum level. And each of those are based on the amount of out-of-pocket costs that are expected on average. So a bronze plan, it would be 60%, silver 70% are covered, gold is 80%, and platinum is 90%, to also kind of give you a sense of how much you'll still have. And for people up to 250% of poverty, they can also get assistance with the out-of-pocket cost in addition to the premium subsidies for people up to 400%.
Rodney, we hope we had a good crack at your question, gave you enough of an answer. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you did. Thanks so much.
Rodney, thank you for calling from Cedar Rapids, 1-866-780-9100. An email from Scott, sort of on the cost side of things. He asks, if you register and choose a provider this year, next year, or the following years, your income changes, will you have to recertify your income every year? It's sort of like FAFSA then in that way.
Absolutely. And that's, again, going to be automatic based on your tax return. Now, one of the things that is going to be complicated, among many things that are complex with this, but that if you have a change in your family situation during the year or a change in your income, and your subsidy that you're getting is based on something. It could be at the end of the year that your subsidy could go up and you may actually get a rebate based on that, or at the end of the year you may end up owing more because your income was higher and you were being subsidized at too high of a level. And that's something that's not, you know, a lot of people, not going to sit well with a lot of folks when you get, if, especially if you're saying you have to pay more.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Dave joining us from Des Moines. Hi, Dave. What do you have to chip in?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. So, upward mobility. I have a wife, two kids. Wife has lousy insurance. I have great insurance at my job, but it's a lousy job. I want to quit the job, start my own business. Can I transition into one of these pools as a small business owner and kind of leave this mess behind? I've been working this job just to maintain health care for my family.
Okay, this, well, we're, this is good roll out of that question, Dave. You're getting a lot of chuckles here in the studio, but we know it's a very serious question.
Well, even though Dan is the health economist here, I think the most interesting question about all of this coverage is what it will do to where people work. Because now all of a sudden you're not tied to your employer just for your benefits. And now if you go online and you see something that's affordable and something that you like, you can then go and do something that you actually enjoy doing that is, and you're not just working for the benefits.
So your advice for Dave is?
I think absolutely for him and his family, there will be policies that will be available that will be affordable compared to what was available in the individual market today. As far as starting his own business, I'm going to leave that to him.
Okay. Dave, thank you very much for your call. I think that's good news for you, right?
Yeah, one more question. So even if my wife has health care available at her, I don't have to take it, right, at her workplace?
That's a technical question. I'm not about the spouse hire. There are issues that I would suggest finding a little bit more specificity that if you are offered a plan at a certain rate, you do have to take it, and then you're not eligible for the subsidy. Now, in terms of a spousal plan and some of those things, that's where it starts getting a little bit dicey, and I'll defer to the state insurance office for that.
Okay, thank you.
Dave, thank you very much. Good luck with getting out of that crappy job, as you describe it. Okay, and finding some health insurance to go along to meet your family's needs. 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to Dale in Cedar Rapids. Having a great time here with, if you've just joined us, we're talking about the Affordable Care Act, the rollout of these health care exchanges with Pete Damiano of the University of Iowa and also Dan Shane of the University of Iowa. And on our line now, Dale from Cedar Rapids. Hi, Dale.
Hello. Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. We have a 26-year-old stepson who will be off our insurance at the end of this year. He had leukemia when he was 17, very healthy now, no recurrence. But I'm worried about the pre-existing condition issue. And then also he has some assets in the bank. And so will that affect the cost of his insurance?
Okay. And the significance of 26 years old, first of all, address that, Pete Damiano.
Right. So I mentioned earlier that there were 50 pieces that had gone in place prior to this. One of those was that people up to age 26 were able to stay on their parents' insurance policies. And that picked up in the neighborhood of 3.5 to 7 million people with coverage, but transitional. And then this is exactly what it's designed for, to move into the exchange, and the elimination of pre-existing conditions will not be a factor. And also the assets are not a factor. And that's a big change from the past for like Medicaid eligibility. Now it's based on a modified adjusted gross income. It's called the MAGI calculation. This is based on just on what's on your taxes. And so the assets issue is, again, no longer a concern like it has been in the past.
Dale, does that
actually
answer?
Makes very little. So he doesn't work.
Right. Then there's a good chance he'll be eligible for the Medicaid expansion where he would not have been before, the Iowa Wellness Plan under 100% of poverty, which was – they're still in the process of getting the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services approval on, but will likely at some form in the near future. And so that's probably where he would be eligible, but that's where you go onto the website and enroll in and do all the figures, and then it'll tell you what you're eligible for or not.
Well, that's fantastic. So pre-existing condition and assets aren't an issue.
Correct.
Hey, thank you so much.
Dale, good luck finding coverage for you and your stepson. Thank you for calling from Cedar Rapids.
Hey, we'll sleep better tonight. Thanks.
Glad we could do that for you, Dale. Let's go to Barbara in Fairfield. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I was forced out on early retirement recently, and I'm only 62 years old.
And my husband is, I'm writing on his insurance right now at a cost of about $700 a month. And, but that's through employment, so he kind of has to take that. When he retires, I'm going to have at least 6 months that I don't have any insurance at all.
Mm.
Am I going to be able to, in about a year and a half here, get into that 2 years from now?
Okay. Peter, Dan, what do you have to say there? Dan?
Yes, absolutely. Up until the age that you would be eligible for Medicare, you would be able to go on to the exchanges. Anyone from 19 up through when they're eligible for Medicare would have the ability to go on the exchanges and shop for policies. And again, the early returns are suggesting that the premiums are going to be much more affordable than what we had seen in the individual market prior to the ACA implementation.
Pete Damiano.
Right. And I think you're exactly another example of the age group that's going to benefit a lot. People who are 55 to 65 may have decided to retire early or may have lost their job and are in a position where it's difficult to find employment with benefits at that point. And so you'll be able to do it. The other folks that both businesses and the individual are going to benefit, and those are related to COBRA costs. So if you've left your job and those are familiar with COBRA, you're purchasing your employer's insurance even though you've left that position. It's very expensive. And so this will be cheaper.
We were looking at that because $700 a month under the COBRA would be kind of expensive on retirement.
Right, exactly. And so both you and your employer benefit because you're not going to be as an older, potentially higher risk person, not necessarily yourself, but people who are, because many people who keep COBRA are doing it because of some sort of a health condition that they don't want to go into the individual market. So it costs the employer, even though you're purchasing it at cost, and it's better for the person.
Okay, Barbara, thank you so much for sharing your story from Fairfield. I hope that's good news for you.
Thank you very much.
David in Des Moines. Running short of time, David, but we have time for you at least.
Hello.
Hi, David. Go ahead.
My name is David. I'm 28, and in 2009, I'm one of these young, healthy people you guys are talking about. In 2009, I had a lung collapse on me for no reason. And if I hadn't been still covered under my mom's insurance at the time, I would have had $40,000 in out-of-pocket expenses that I would have had. So I've had insurance ever since then. I've been making sure to keep up on that. So I'm going to be really looking forward to this because I don't have insurance through my employer right now.
Okay. David, thank you for sharing your situation with us. AJ in Des Moines as well. Hi, AJ. You have a question to end our hour?
Yes, please. I'm 75, and I'm on Blue Cross, Blue Shield, in addition to my insurance Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
What'll be, and they told me Blue Cross Blue Shield said it's going to be going up every year from beginning of this year, from 2014. What is the situation as far as now the Obamacare is concerned?
Okay, that changes your picture there, AJ. What about those rising costs? Can we say anything to AJ about that?
It shouldn't affect your costs specifically, because again, the Medicare is completely outside of this. What Wellmark is going to be doing with their policies should be strictly outside of this. It might change their risk pool to some extent, depending on who comes in or not, but because Wellmark themselves decided to opt out, but it really isn't unrelated. And there are a number of things that are being sort of blamed on the ACA, and I'm not speaking about this Wellmark policy in particular, but things like when UPS announced that they weren't going to cover spouses and kids a couple of weeks ago and, you know, saying that was related to the ACA. We've been seeing these kinds of things for 20 years, and employers have been dropping people and their costs, pushing more costs onto employees, and mm-hmm. this is just a part of what's been going on.
Dan Shane, maybe you can address, do you have any misconceptions that you see in the media or talked about ACA as we finish up this hour?
I think the biggest misconception are those with employer-sponsored coverage that they're happy with, that they'll be forced to go on the exchanges. There's nothing at all. As Pete mentioned, that there's been a general decline in employer-sponsored coverage. That is going to get tied up with the ACA. But for those with employer-sponsored coverage, they're happy with it. They like their job. There's not going to be changes associated with the rollout of these exchanges.
It's very interesting that because it is so second nature, we've all grown up with our health insurance connected with our employer. Other countries don't do it that way. I lived for many years in Germany. Had health insurance there. You can move whether you're self-employed or from employer to employer, your health insurance is a completely separate thing. So we're going to have to get used to some new ideas that perhaps we don't seek out employers as we did the man with the self-described crappy job did, because they offer good health insurance. You might have more freedom here.
Right. You will have more freedom. And I think there's a misperception in the United States about if I work hard, I'm going to have benefits. And the government is based in that we have some sort of a private, primarily private system between Medicare, Medicaid with, you know, picking up people with disabilities and people in nursing homes, and all of us with private insurance where it's subsidized, our employers can write it off on their taxes. We're all subsidized.
Pete Damiano and Dan Shane of the University of Iowa, I want to thank you so much for dropping by. We'll probably knock at your door real soon because we've had such an outpouring of people with questions and concerns to clear up. Pete Damiano of the University of Iowa, Dan Shane, thank you very much.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Emily Woodbury, Sarah Bowden, and Ben Stanton produce River to River. Technical support from Dennis Reese. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Catherine Perkins. Join us tomorrow for Politics Day. Yes, of course, the politics of the shutdown and Obamacare. Join us tomorrow. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.